Blog Talk Radio. Storybox Audio.
Good evening, and it's 6 p.m. on Sunday. This is the Here Be Monsters radio station, and tonight we have on the Sunday show our co-host, Jack. I was just going to say Jack Jodell, guys, because you got me thinking about Jack. We're wishing Jack a speedy recovery up in Minneapolis. And Wayne Johnson's with us, author Ronald Feynman, and commentator, writer, Captain David Williams is with us from Okistan. And basically, the week in review is like, I don't know about you guys, but it feels like time is, it's like walking through Jell-O. you feel like you're walking through Jell-O or something.
That's a good analogy. I hadn't thought about it that way, but I get what you're saying.
I mean, and then you look up and it's like, where did the time go? Wait a minute. It was just July. You know, it's just the same old so much. But it actually does change. I think probably the most outrageous thing we heard this past week was the fact that Woodward came out with, pardon me, those beautiful sell his book that let us know that Trump was fully aware. We knew this, but to have it come out on tape and be played on every, including they played it on Fox. I didn't know that. Somebody told me that earlier today.
Right.
That he had known way back in January what was coming down the road, and in February how bad it was going to be, and la-di-da-di-da.
And yet now Bob Woodward is called a wacko job by Donald Trump, but he agreed to have this wacko job interview him for 18 times. So that's a little strange, to say the least.
I was going to say, in my sources, Glenn, as I said before we were on the air here, the daily briefings from the Pentagon before Thanksgiving of last year notified Trump that we need to start preparing for a very vicious pandemic that's coming down. And Trump totally wanted to ignore it, didn't want to take it. And henceforth, you know, 3 months later, even as late as February, towards the end of February, getting ready to go into March, he was doing his little carnival cluster circuit, claiming that it was just another Democratic hoax just to try to win this damn presidency. It's done all that kind of bravado. He knew before Thanksgiving. So there you go.
So actually,
you know,
I wrote in my blog,
why did he tell Woodward that he knew?
The only thing I can think of is his own hubris, thinking that he could schmooze anybody. I got the art of the deal, you know, I can schmooze anybody. I can win anybody over, right? I'm going to play this guy, you know, like he thinks he's playing Putin and Kim Jong-un. But then when it came out of the stupidity, his own hubris bit him in the ass. Now he's trying to say
it tells me something about the guy, that he can't think beyond the present moment.
You're right. It's me right here and now. Swim in Lake Donald Trump, you know.
I think it's negligent homicide is what I wrote in my blog, what he's done, and I think he should be held accountable, the president.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, he's talking about a total disregard for the safety. And instead of being a true leader of this country, protecting the citizenry, which is his main job and duty. You know, let's look at this. The Midwest, and I'm not going to call them wildfires because they're not wildfires. I'm sorry, the Northwest. They are climate fires. These are fires that have Washington State, Oregon, Montana, Nevada, all up in blaze. And the thing is, it's nothing new because it has been projected and predicted by every climate scientist doing the studies there saying that it's going to go down this way. And now we're seeing it real time of those projections of our scientists coming true.
Yeah,
have you heard FEMA's being released out there? He hasn't released FEMA. They haven't done anything to try to protect those people. Mexico is sending firefighters up to help put the fires out. You know,
well,
the country that only sends us rapists.
It's
and,
not only
you know, thieves.
It's not only that.
Go ahead.
But basically, too, they just deported all those children that they've had locked up. They're doing mass deportations. They're shoving them across the border into Mexico. All those children and everybody has been locked up because a greater majority of them are infected, too. It's basically
yep.
what's going on.
Yep.
This is horrifying. Yep. We are now committing crimes against humanity against Mexico. I mean,
yep.
Doing that. And the other striking thing that caught my interest today was the fact that, you know, Israel's Knesset is pretty much like your Republican Senate here. And they
yeah.
opened up, you know, because, you know, let's do business, let's have economic stability, blah blah blah, the same thing that Trump has been blaring on. They are doing a countrywide lockdown again. They have to. Everybody's so infected over there in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Not even funny. That's a small state. I mean,
right.
They're going to lose a significant number of their population.
Kind of getting back to the children, you know, these children were separated from their parents when they were like 2, 3 years old, and now we're talking about they've been there for damn near 3 years. So now these kids are now 5, 6 years old. And they've been held in cages like animals, and now they're just tossing them across the border, like, not my problem anymore. And I've said about my time in South America, the abuses to the civilization of Pinochet in Chile, and particularly the military junta that was in charge of Argentina in the mid-70s, the abuses to the population. I have no tolerance for this.
Here is the thing. These children and their age, and they survive this. Here's our new cadre of terrorists. These are the people that are going to come back and do harm as adults because they've been so defiled by this country.
Exactly. These kids have been traumatized, and they're going to be come back with anger towards the American citizens, particularly the border states that committed this.
A few of them are really going to be, and, you know, I mean, where's my beret? I've not misplaced it, I know, because it's horrifying what's going down. The meatpacking industry has been fined for failing to keep workers safe, and yet it's a miserable $30,000. I think it's $29,000. And basically, they're just going to keep shoving them in there and telling people you don't get in here. You lose your job. You know, the same old, same old. It's horrifying what's going on daily.
Absolutely. You know, Purdue, the Eastern Shore of Maryland, the Delmarva Peninsula, the peninsula land separates the ocean from the Chesapeake Bay, contains the state of Delaware, the Eastern Shore of Maryland, the very tip belongs to Virginia, so it's called the Delmarva Peninsula. You get to the southern part of that peninsula, there's really no kind of employment and everything except for Frank Perdue's chicken processing plant and waste treatment plant, you know, the chicken waste. And there is now a large outbreak in Worcester County, southern county down there, and it's all simply because of the mass outbreaks within Frank Perdue's chicken processing plant because they put them in there side by side. They're Mexican or Latino immigrants that they put in there, And, you know, these are expendable people to the meat packing industry. So, you know, oh, okay, he died. Yep, put another one in there. You know, and you're just another cog in a machine with them, with these immigrant, Latino immigrants.
It's
sickening.
And I've been watching, I was watching some of the questioning of the Latino voters' guilds and whatnot this past week. And they're talking about how many Latinos are still supporting Trump in my state here in Florida. And I'm like, no, that's crazy. It's just simply not true. Obama went over so big because so many of the Latin youth out of those, you know, Cuban Americans down in the South who are, you know, 40 and below,
mm-hmm.
are voting Democrat. Well, it's the old, you know, the old guys. It's like listening to Cummings on Reverend Al there before the show went on. He's talking about, you know, some of these progressives like Bernie Sanders came on and said, you know, rightfully so, you're going to have to embrace some of our policies here, or we're going to have real problems at the voting booth. And they're like, nah, everybody wants to get rid of Trump. It's basically we're business as usual for the DNC, not until these old bastards are in their graves. Okay?
Yeah.
You know, John Lewis was different. You know, but
mm-hmm.
guys like Cummings who just, you know, want to go the old-fashioned route of that corporate DNC crap, you're losing people here. I don't think that the Biden people are realizing that people are upset. It's all over the social network. People are pissed off. I'm pissed. I'm one of them.
Yeah.
I'm pissed. You know,
there's
I don't want
to be...
see that son of a bitch get back into the White House. But there's a lot of people out there starting to say, let him have it. Let him ruin the country. We'll take it over. They're talking tribal. You know, it's goddamn stupid. It's stupid.
The
not to embrace whatever in this country. Has there not been a glaring need for health care for all, but a friggin' plague wiping down everybody? And they're still going to do Obamacare? Oh, come on.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I got that out. I'm sorry, gentlemen.
Professor, you join in here.
Yeah, I'm listening. I think Obamacare is just the beginning. I think there will be a lot more done.
They've said that for 25 damn years.
It's only been 10 years since Obamacare. I think it will go way beyond this. He already wants to lower Medicare to age 60. I think it should be lower than that. I'm talking about Joe Biden. But he's already said he wants to at least lower Medicare's beginning to age 60.
I think it
should be lower than that.
Same old DNC crap. It's just talking points. What he has to come out and say is there's never been a better time or a better example for health care for all. That's what he needs to do.
I would have to particularly, let's look at it this way. In the Great Depression, 1930s, when FDR came in and made a lot of the sweeping changes.
Wayne, whatever you were doing with your microphone, it was fuzzing all your words.
Sorry. Okay, let me try it this way. During the Great Depression, FDR came into power and made a lot of sweeping changes with the social welfare aspects of, you know, Social Security, because old people lost their retirement funds in the crash of the stock market. So we needed to provide for them so they wouldn't have to be eating, you know, cat food or whatever. And a lot of people lost their jobs. The gross domestic product fell down to 15%.
Yeah.
And in today's world, under Trump, our gross domestic products has fallen down to 33%. There's a lot of people who, again, are losing, getting thrown out of their houses, will be eventually, because they can't pay their rents, they can't pay their house mortgages, the cars are going to be repossessed. And plus two is, traditionally in this country, your health care was all linked to your employment. And if you lose your employment, you've lost your health care.
Well, that's bullshit
And plus with Trump, who's really now, really his, like, you know, he's really trying to defund Social Security. This is like his last, you know.
And health care, Obama, the ACA.
Yeah, yes. Oh, yeah, the whole nine yards. Right? And Mitch McConnell is, you know, leading the way in the Senate. And the thing is he picked people my age who are, you know, I could have retired right now, but I want to continue on for a few more years because my talents in education and upgrading the electrical infrastructure grid are in demand. My retirement plan is also, had always included all for my retirement planning was that I was going to have this much in my retirement that I put away myself, 401k, a Roth IRA, and then I have also my Social Security. Well, if they take away my Social Security, they've taken away a third, if not more, of what my retirement income would be.
But see, these are not the issues that the majority of people who need to get out and vote are looking at. What they're looking at is, what are you going to do about my student debt? What are you going to do about getting me an income? What are you going to do about health care? Because, I've had COVID and now I have relatable issues because of it. These things are not being addressed by the DNC or Biden-Harris. They are not. Yeah. And Harris, who I would expect to get a little more out in front, is towing the DNC line too. And it's showing. It's showing enough for Senator Sanders to come out on MSNBC and gently remind them that a lot of the people they're counting on for their vote is are starting to get real pissed off. And I'm talking about the people who are good enough to get in the streets and put masks on and say enough is enough with racism. I'm talking about students who are in school and people who have been working for 10 years and living in mom's basement. I mean, these people are voters and they make up a very big part of what you might call the progressive party. This is not going to fly. And a lot of these people are starting, I see it on social media, mostly I see it on Twitter. They're like, you know, screw them. Screw them both. Screw the DNC. Through the RNC, let them go down. We'll pick up the pieces. You know, that's starting to flow.
I understand what you're saying. Elizabeth Warren really had a very good message, and that is the message that, you know, is really of our time today. You know, this student debt that, you know, DeVos and, you know, other predatory lenders for your child to get an education because he can't get a job without an education, are now owing their soul to the company store because they've got long-term debt that, and with no job, you know, these kids are really behind the eight ball. And, you know, I've got a child in that.
We know.
You know, she's doing all right, right? But she could have very easily been part of that demographic.
A lot of my students are facing real financially difficult times as they get near into finishing college. It's a real nightmare for them.
Exactly, Professor.
Well, it's not going to – the ball is not getting picked up by the Biden team well enough. They're not – there are no FDRs. There was an interesting post I saw, and I believe I reposted it, written by Robert Redford. And he said when he was a kid listening on the, you know, folks were listening to the fireside chat and he listened to FDR talk about how we had to get together and how we had to work together to bring the country back up off its ass. And he spoke pretty eloquently and he used a lot of words to say what he was thinking. And it's just not there. It's not there. Too many, you've got too many fractures in all of these different progressive, green, this, that party. People nitpick with one another. Democrats have always had problems because there's so many damn, everybody who leans left or has, you know, identified as a Democrat are individuals with individual ideas, and compromise and following along are not part of their, you know, makeup, if you will. But generally speaking, unification right now is really important, and that unification has to come from where Biden is touting it needs to come from, the top. And his moral values are not the message that we need right now. His moral values can be taken for granted to a certain extent here. Of course, he's got better values than this asshole sitting in the catbird seat. But basically, he needs to be talking about health care for all. He needs to be talking about the Green New Deal that'll put the economy and industry back into motion. He needs to be talking about what we're going to do for those people who've been hanging out to dry, like the Dreamers and whatever else is on the agenda with immigration. And this is and first and foremost, he has to step up and say a lot stronger. You know, they're trying to be so careful with people's freedoms
and
all
of
this.
Don't want to be labeled as socialist.
But yeah, well, fuck that. But oh, I'm sorry. Did I really say that? I'm sorry.
I didn't hear a thing.
But the other portion of that is too, first and foremost, what the hell are you going to do about these idiots going around infecting people with this plague? What are you going to do to lock this down? And, you know, you'll get accused of, if you mandate it, that's an accusation of martial law.
Oh,
it'll be
a totalitarian government, right?
Yeah, well, you know what? You could get your ass arrested and thrown in the can in the 1918, 1919, when that first pandemic went through, because that's how serious it was.
Yeah. Well,
so
I just want to mention that I know someone, I will not mention who, but you know who I'm talking about, who thinks that requiring a mask would be Marxism, and it disgusts me that somebody would even think a stupid moronic statement like that.
Yeah, well, that's
moronic because that has nothing to do with Marxism. If the guy knew what Marxism actually was, he wouldn't even say that. And that's another thing that can tick you off. People who really don't know what they're talking about.
Also someone I know who majored in science in the mid-80s and thinks the science of the 80s is up to now, that he's an expert on science now, 35 years later, which is also like saying history 35 years ago. How much have I learned, and how much more, not even talking about the future, but even just everything? I mean, we're always learning. So to claim you know a subject because you knew it 35 years ago is preposterous, you know?
Right. I was going to say, 35 years ago, right today, we are manipulating individual atoms using a scanning tunneling microscope.
Mm-hmm.
I was involved with that in the West Coast there where we were making microchips.
The thing is that basically the science here is still swimming through muddy water for most of these. They just had to shut down and re-begin the testing because of the horrible reaction that happened in the third stage here in one of these companies. You know that, right? That's out there. That's news.
Reiterate the story, Glenn, for our listeners.
Well, I'm just saying, I'm not sure which company it is, but whichever company it is, it has no entanglement financially with Trump. But the third stage in testing, had one person had a horrific reaction, and it was enough of a reaction that they shut it down, and they're beginning again. David, did you read about this? Do you know about this?
No, I don't.
I've read it. You're right. They're trying to rush this vaccine because it is politically pushed and motivated. I don't care who's in charge of the CDC saying that, you know, we're not feeling political pressure. Trust me. From this Trump administration, they are trying to get something out the door so he can point to it, even though it's going to be dangerous. It's not going to be what we really need to do it. but he, they want him to shove something out so he can point to it. Little side note here, I just read an article. A woman who had COVID last year and kind of supposedly gotten through it and lived through it, Al is having respiratory laboring. She's having trouble breathing right now because it is the second wave of this COVID-19 virus that sits dormant and then rises back up.
That's the other thing that they're trying to grasp, too. There is some kind of a second up wave up with this.
Yeah.
I have no idea what is going on, but I haven't got the facts, but I have seen people writing about it.
They're called long-termers. They're just having symptoms that either diminish and then come back a couple of months later, or they just don't go away. It's not every single case. You could probably count it in less than 10,000, but it is out there. We're having respiratory issues.
Heart issues.
They're having nervous system issues. They're having all sorts of problems.
Kidneys issues and stuff. It all depends on where the virus settles itself into the muscles around these organs. Let me tell you a real quick story. It just happened with me this past week. I went to the local grocery store, Giant, and as I was getting out, I had my mask on, and here's a father. He's got two sons. One son was probably just getting into the 13, maybe bordering on 14. And the younger boy had his mask on, and when the older boy was coming out, he said, "I'm not putting on that stupid mask." And, you know, we're all getting out at the same time. And sure enough, that kid didn't have his mask on, and father didn't crack down on him or anything. So I looked over at the young man, and I calmly said, you know, I said, "You really should put your mask on, you know, for, you know, this is a very serious illness here and stuff." Well, I've already had COVID, and nothing I didn't die. I said, "Well, then you're a very blessed and lucky man." I said, "But what if you have it and passed it on to me and I died?" He just kind of paused for a minute and kind of shrugged his shoulder like, "I don't know." I told the father, I said, you know, I looked at the father and said, "But come on, let you handle this. I hope I haven't overstepped my bounds." But, you know, I wanted to impress upon the young man the seriousness of this. And I went ahead and walked on into the store. Then all of a sudden from behind me, I heard this young boy said, I'm going back to get my mask, Dad."
It's good.
Well, that's
I talked to him like an adult. I reasoned with him. I stayed calm, and I drove my point home. Okay, look, you're lucky. You didn't die.
Yeah, the whole problem is we live in a country now.
And I died from it.
But we live in a country today, unfortunately, where because of Trump, everything is me, myself, and I, and that everybody just thinks – it doesn't affect me or people I personally know. Who cares about anybody else? And that's an outrageous way to look at people, you know?
That's not America I grew up in. That is a
social shift. These people have always been there, but they were not socially acceptable. You know, along came Archie Bunker, and along came civil rights, and it became, you know, it just wasn't, you didn't do it. It wasn't polite. It wasn't acceptable. And now it's acceptable. It's acceptable that I can look at my front door and see a pickup truck full of Trump boys with their flag flying and guns in their hands in the bed of a truck going down my street. Where, by the way, now instead of Trump signs, we have Biden signs.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. It's progress.
I was going to say, now are they riding down the streets with guns?
Yeah, you can do that in the state of Florida.
Yeah, I know. Florida's screwed up. And that's,
it's absolutely insane.
Dangerous ground laws that killed a young man just because he went to the 7-Eleven to get a Skittles and a tea or something.
And he got away with it.
When you get kids, like the kids from Parkland, who are on social media right now going, "I can't believe what they're doing with the DNC. They're not listening to us. The NRA isn't even part of their, you know, their guns are not even, and school safety is not even a part of what they're touting." You know, when you've got so many people that are sure, there's loads and loads of Trump or Biden-Harris, And then you see the role of people going, this is crap. It's the same old shit. But nothing's going to get done. You're just getting by, getting through, getting elected. And I don't think it's exactly that. I do think that the Biden team is looking at every problem we have. But are they going to be ready on day one to walk in there and put these sons of bitches responsible for this mess into investigation and the rest? I mean, are they going to be ready to clean out our institutions? I mean, look.
Oh, there's got to be a lot of purging. Yes, there's got to be a lot of purging that Trump has instilled those into power and leadership, like the EPA, the Energy Department, you know, things like that. That needs to be a total purge of this corrupt enabling
It's not just the DOJ and energy. It's every institution. And
I said the
idiots,
environmental. That takes the votes in the Department of Education. That's another perfect example that her ass needs to go.
But they've like bowling for dollars here. How many pins can you hit?
That's a plethora. I mean, we could make a list here that just goes on and on. I agree with you, Gwen. So, you know, made me think of the old George Wills, Will Rogers quote. I'm not a member of any kind of organized political party.
I was thinking of that. The Democrats are not an organized party, and that's why
they
often lose.
Yeah, well, we're in a lot of trouble, and overall of it is this damnable plague, and it's so. I mean, it morphs in every individual. It hits people wherever it's almost targeted for each individual to go to places in that individual and go, whoops, now we got you. I've read something about how it works, and it's incredible. And they're talking about working with nanotechnology on this. I mean, it's weird. It's gotten very strange.
I did a lot of papers back in the late 90s. On nanotechnology, and that has a lot of hope and promise in the medical industry in this aspect here, along with manufacturing and things like
that's
that. But
That is transhumanism. You know that, right? That's transhumanism. I mean, and I don't care if you're talking about a cream to take away the wrinkles that has nanobites in it or whatever, that's still transhumanism. And not that I'm saying it's a wrong thing. There's certain, you could look at people with prosthetic limbs, up to the moment prosthetic limbs, that's transhumanism too. I mean, it can, but you're going to inject me full of nanotechnology to, I'm a little freaked out by that. David?
That's a long ways away.
David, your thoughts. David.
It's
a long ways away. I mean, nanotechnology that you inject, it's not around the corner.
No.
You know, I expect that a vaccine is going to be coming around maybe towards the end of this year or next year. But nanotechnology, repairing body, that type of stuff, that's a decade away.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, when you speak of nanotechnology, of course, that's painting with a pretty big brush. Like I said, when I was a regional sales manager, I designed in the surge protection for the equipment. But LAM, Research and Applied Materials, AMAT, building machines that traditionally, like if you're making a computer chip, you lay down the silicon structure and then you etch your TTL logic, which stands for transistor logic. But the generation, this would have been in the late 2005 era, they were using Stanley tunneling microscopes, and as the silicon substrate was being laid down, they were embedding in individual gold atoms for the tracings of the TTL logic. It cut the manufacturing cost down by a third. the amount of memory and the transistors you could get within the same amount of states was exponentially greater. Intel was the first customer. The first machines that they made using this technology went to Ireland to handle the European.
You're talking about something that's completely different. You're talking about MIMS and stuff like that. I use that right now in design, but you have to distinguish between MIMS and, say, like accelerometer that's designed on an IC chip and something that actually is biologically transformative.
Well, what I was saying was we've already entered into the baby steps, and, you know, when you start designing and manufacturing, you learn more and more from it. So, I mean, the little robot that's going to go in and repair your heart valve or, you know, take out the cholesterol from your carotid arteries and stuff, that's 10 years down the line. But we are making the initial baby steps, is what I was saying.
Wait a minute here. Excuse me. But they're already using nanotechnology and applications for cosmetics. I know that's my business, my industry, with the essential oils. I mean, I get ad work all the time for these gels that they've come out with nano in them. So,
there is nanotechnology, but again, you have to distinguish between passive nanotechnology, something like a particle that will perhaps act as a split of light, so you get this reflective characteristic or a gloss or something like that, as opposed to something that actively goes out and senses a particular area of your body and makes changes based on that condition. That's almost introducing artificial intelligence into nanotechnology.
Yeah, well, it's a decade. That part is a decade away. Yeah. I agree with you 100%.
Well, wait a minute, gentlemen. I'm talking about one company that has come out with, and this is just one out of like three or four I've seen the last year. They have a face gel that is got nanotechnology in it. And what it does is the same thing as, you know, you've seen these commercials about the stuff that goes under your eyes and it, you know, it tightens the skin back up and takes care of the crow's feet at the corner of your eyes. And this stuff is already out there. Now, David, your delineation between nanotechnologies, would that kind of technology mean that it does make a transformation on the skin? And it does work. I've seen it.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. And I mean, that's what I'm trying to distinguish is that there's nanotechnology that I would consider passive.
Okay, that would be passive.
Yeah, it produces. It has properties that normally would not occur through chemistry or something like that.
Okay.
But then you have the technology that was discussed earlier, where you inject in the bloodstream and it goes out and finds heart tissue or something like that and actively repairs it.
Yeah. Okay. I'm seeing what you're saying. So
it's two separate.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about the same thing, but, you know, it's just sort of distinguishing. And, you know, to tell you the truth,
right.
I probably
Maybe
shouldn't even brought it up.
It's
just confusing the conversation here.
Yeah,
no.
So I apologize for that.
No, actually, you brought clarity to it because there are certain periodicals and publications right now that are claiming that and these are ones that are like anti-vax and stuff that are saying, you know, you can't trust whatever they're doing with vaccines know. And
they are doing some amazing things, but, you know, nanotechnology also is sort of a buzzword as well, you know, some products that can say, we're the cutting edge of technology. We got nanotechnology in it.
Nano just simply means what? 1 billionth of a distance of a light wave? I forget the exact one, but basically that's what it is. It's a certain measurement in a micro scale. Well, nano scale really is what it is.
Yeah, I just wanted to intervene to say about vaccines. The problem is even when the vaccines become available, to get most of the country to do it, it's probably going to be difficult. There's so many people don't believe in vaccines, even for other things. So it's going to be, I think, create a long-range problem for this unfortunate situation.
You know,
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder.
There's a lot of stupid out there.
Oh, boy, is there.
You know, the thing is how do you equate stupidity and willful ignorance with freedom? I mean, does freedom allow you to have a willful ignorance that's harmful to the general public?
You're right. I saw on cable that Taiwan has almost no issue with the virus. And they've mandated that everybody had to be tested and then quarantined if they had any indications of it. And they had to carry some kind of a system where they'd be monitored. If they left where they were, they'd be apprehended and punished. And, you know, of course, in this country, we talk about freedom, but the idea that freedom interferes with the rights of others. That's the problem. And in a country like Taiwan,
right,
they've set a model for us, you know?
I think that it's going to require leaders, if we ever get one, takes an aggressive policy where it's almost considered like a DUI if you're out there in public without a mask, and you have to go to education. I know people scream about, you know, Chairman Mao and all this stuff, but they need like 8 hours of an education program that shows them what can happen, if you don't have your precautions against this pandemic.
What if they're out there? What out if they're out there and they get pulled over and stopped and they're asymptomatic or they've got COVID? Then what? What do you do then?
I don't know if there's any kind of penalty at all.
Yeah, now what do you do then? Write them a ticket? I think that this administration had an answer for that. What do they call it? Quarantine? Isn't that what they did to all the people coming across the border? Quarantined them?
Yes.
You know? Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Come on.
I think education is going to be the key. You know, I mean, you can't.
I do too. I honestly do.
Imprison people
for
not wearing masks.
You remind me of the old joke. You know what's the difference between ignorance and apathy? I don't know, and I don't care. That's what you're going to be dealing with, those kind of people, too.
Yeah. It's a question that has to be asked nationwide. I mean, at what point does your willful ignorance not become freedom anymore and become a hazard to society?
Well, it inflicts harm upon others. I would say that would be the litmus test for me.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to drink raw, unpasteurized milk, straight from the cows, you know, here's where my head's at. In West Virginia, there's too much government influence. You know, the problem is there's too much government and stuff. So a bunch of the leaders in the House in West Virginia and the representatives passed a law saying that you can sell raw milk and drink it, right? It's your right, your freedoms to do that. So they signed the paper, got the bill passed, and some of those legislators there in West Virginia did a toast of eating raw milk and stuff like, see, we passed this bill and it's your freedom and, you know, get government out of your lives. All of them ended up with diarrhea and sick and hell because the milk had not been pasteurized.
We had a dairy here local that sold raw milk, and one of the cows developed rabies. So they had to go back and find all the customers, and they had to go through the rabies shots.
We've been through this.
It's like a series of seven shots, I think.
Yeah, we should not have to be relearning these damn lessons that, you know, we have decided because it's your government's influenced too much in your life, it's your freedom. We got to cut this shit out and get back to some normalcy of true critical thinking, logical argumentation, reasoning.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and the general public has to get away from this zero-sum decision-making where it's like either you're here or you're there and, you know, have some intelligence and make some sort of gray value decision that, you know, here's right. the benefits and here's the cost. And, you know, if we do this, it's not the 100%, but it helps a lot. And, you know, it's, yeah. which I think masks are not 100%, right. but it's better than nothing. So,
right.
But people, you know, people don't think that way. They either have football team A or football team B. And then
right.
social media has polarized everybody so much that, you know, if you don't think the way I do, then it's a fight or it's a gun battle.
Right. And this is what's been the criminal aspects, the crisis that the Rush Limbaughs, the Sean Hannitys. You know, I can go on and on with these hate-mongering, fear, you know, for their own dollar, pumping dollars into their own wallets. We have a whole generation that has been indoctrinated and embedded with this stuff that basically we have, you know, a whole generation that cannot think for themselves. Someone says it,
agreed.
And they'll turn around and repeat it as if it's verbatim. You know, it's become a religious cult. That's the best way I can say it.
Well, yeah, and I think the generation must be qualified. I don't think it's the new generation that's coming up that's being indoctrinated.
I'm talking about the
retirees
30, 40
and,
years
and
old now. Yeah, 30 and 40
the,
years old.
You know, perhaps the 60s, the 70s, and late 50s, that generation, you know, I'm seeing a lot of it. I'm seeing people that are sort of gone off the deep end with, you know, the Fox News and the Rush Limbaugh after they've retired.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, it's just a whole generation of stupidity.
Yeah, that late generation. You know, I really don't see that much of that in the youth that's coming out today. I'm sort of hopeful for, you know, that they seem to realize what their situation is, and they're not automatically choosing things that. You know, people are forcing on them. They're trying new ways. They're, you know, they're not
yeah.
accepting things that are doesn't make sense.
Well, like I said, I have a 25-year-old that falls within the demographics that you're speaking of. Of course, I
mm-hmm.
raised her. You know, it's like, you know, think for yourself. Does that sound like you? Does it ring true to you? You know, let's use Socratic irony here. You know, that, in other words, to think for yourself. But I've seen, you know, many of my oldest daughter's generation is now knocking on the door 40 and stuff that they've been so indoctrinated and, you know, they're conservative Republicans and stuff. And there's no touch with reality of any questioning what you're being told.
The Reagan effect, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be a good start.
You know,
yep.
I wonder why that is. I mean, seriously, giving him some thought about it, it's why does that seem to be so effective? I mean, why are so many Rush Limbaugh people drinking the Kool-Aid, so to speak?
Well, it's look,
yeah.
verbal. Back in the 30s.
I mean, look at QAnon. I mean, that's
science
completely
propaganda.
Absurd.
It is
this,
pure
the
propaganda.
QAnon stuff that's becoming popular?
Yeah, like I said, it's that is the power of propaganda. You know, the theory of the big lie, you tell a big, outrageous lie that everybody says, oh, that's pure bullshit. But if you keep repeating it and bringing it up as if it's true, then all of a sudden it takes a life on its own, and then you'll find many who will start repeating it as if it were true because they've heard it as fact for so long.
Adolf Hitler talked about that, you know, decades ago, the big lie technique. You say something
yeah,
enough times, people will believe it.
That's what it's called.
Well, if you keep repeating it, it only works if you have no other viewpoint that's being expressed. You know, if it gets repeated and something else refutes it, then it sort of annuls the effect.
Well,
so, I mean,
David,
could
you
say
well
that
know,
looking at only
have,
one particular type of media is the big issue?
Yeah, well, this, you know, you've heard it this, you know, it started with Rush Limbaugh, but you even heard the President W. Bush refer to it later on, even sitting in the White House. Oh, you're just part of that intelligentsia. You know, let's make it a
anti-intellectual
name, right? You're smart, right? You're thinking this out.
Historian Richard Hofstadter, years ago in the 50s and 60s, wrote about anti-intellectualism in American politics, and he's long gone. He's absolutely correct.
Isaac Asimov, famous quote, I like to spread out. So there's a a strain of anti-intellectualism that's going around here that says my ignorance is just as good as your education.
Well, because they would say, well, we have our opinions, not facts. That's what
yeah.
they say.
Yeah, yeah. Well, or what's her name, Conjob, Kellyanne Conjob, as Jack likes to call her, says, well, I'm sorry, but we have alternate facts. Well, alternate facts is just bullshit, okay?
No, that yeah, you mentioned that Hofstadter. That was a very important book.
Yes.
Yeah.
He died much too young. He died at age 54 in 1970. He could have contributed
yeah.
for many more decades if only he had a longer life.
Yeah, there you go.
We lose some of the best people because of whatever have health problems, you know. It's
yeah.
terrible.
Well, before we have a few minutes left to go, I think it's important to remember right now that over 30 people have died out there in those wildfires, which seems to be such a small amount for the size and the scope of the fires that are going on out there. But just thousands and thousands of people have been, they're looking at a total loss of home. And
yeah, Governor Newsom of California says it's not wildfires, it's climate change fires.
No, I
was
gonna say,
yeah.
Let's call it what it is. Let's quit calling it wildfires. This is climate yeah. change fires. Exactly right.
Oh, my God.
This,
Oregon,
this
particularly, some few
of
towns, you know, a few towns totally wiped out in Oregon.
Right. John Stuart Mill's famous quote, he was a politician in England in the mid-1800s, but also a great philosopher, he said, all truth is realized when personal experience brings it home. I'm sure there's people that are losing their homes, some who have lost their lives, and families who have lost their lives, are wrapping their head around how devastating this climate change has been for those northwestern states that are suffering right now.
Yeah, but the thing is, from Trump's view, they're blue states in politics, so he doesn't care.
Yeah, well, again, I can't do any kind of justifying or even commenting on the idiocy of Trump and his reasonings and reactions.
He doesn't reason. He's a wacko.
No,
he's a whack job that he calls Bob Woodward.
Yeah, well, there you go. There you go. So anyway, I just hope that Bob Woodward's book for many brings Trump down.
And also Mary Trump's.
He brought Nixon down.
Yeah. Mary Trump's book, I think, is having a big effect, too. The niece, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. She's within
the family. She's actually been making the rounds, I see, on a great
even
deal of news.
Even on Trump's own sister said he's a damn
good yeah.
But she knows Trump better than anybody. She's family,
yeah,
you know.
Right. She grew up with him. She just, you know, you never could believe anything he said. He was a pathological liar.
It's the laughing, but it's something funny, actually. It's just,
well,
when you think of it, it's like, how can anybody lie so much? And he doesn't have
yeah,
a long nose like Pinocchio.
Well,
oh, gosh.
Jesus. I mean, it is pretty bad. It is pretty bad. When your own sister is willing to serve you up, and you know she knew
that's
just a
niece.
Recorded.
But actually, the sister also made comments. The judge, yes, she has
right.
made.
Right.
Yes, yes, she was great. She was the judge. She was an accomplished person pointing out his lesser than, falling short of his, well, of anything. I don't think he had any potential. But he's made the best. He's made a whole living in life. Basically, well, when you own, inherit several million dollars, he's basically gone through it. He's squandered. Now he owes China hundreds of millions of dollars. He's up to Putin's servitude to the tune of several hundred million dollars. He's not paying any kind of legal fees when they're rolled against him, like in Ireland, for destroying environmental laws and things like that. He just and the thing is when he defaulted on the loan with the Deutsche Bank, he said, well, I'm not paying this loan back. You were stupid for lending me the money. I didn't have those assets that I said I had. You didn't do your research. It's your fault. I'm not paying you that loan.
Yeah, and also about DNA issue. That he's delaying the DNA issue, which could show he was involved in rapes. You know?
Oh, that's right. He has raped young girls. One I know.
15-year-old girl on Epstein's Island, and
Kate
also that older woman. You know, that woman that brought the lawsuit recently. But meanwhile, the attorney general was promoting that the government can get involved in that case when there's nothing to do with Trump as president.
Right. That's what
it's unbelievable.
Well, right, so now your tax dollars are going out there to defend Trump for his raping. Well, this one girl, her name was Kate with a K, Johnson, and she was 13 years old. She was one of those recruited by Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah.
And Trump raped her 4 times over the weekend orgy back in the mid-'80s.
Early 90s.
And he's been fighting that for decades of not having to turn his DNA of her. Matter of fact, Cohen has even admitted to that, but he was part of that legal aspect to delay any kind of gathering of DNA evidence, which would prove that he, you know, let's call him, he's a kiddie raper. That's what Trump
did. And I think Epstein did not die of self-inflicted. I think he was murdered. It seems almost certain now to shut him up, you know?
Yeah, you know, absolutely. And the thing is he had a lot of people, you know, even, you know, the room, the Prince there of England, Andrew, no?
Prince Andrew, yeah.
Yes, yes, Andrew.
No, was it Andrew or was
no,
it?
No, it wasn't Andrew. Who was it? It's
It was Charles's brother. It may be
Prince
Andrew.
It is Prince
Andrew.
I'm
drawing a blank on his name.
Andrew. It is Andrew.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. It is Andrew. Okay, that's right.
Yeah, he has two brothers. Edward is the other, but Edward never got into any kind of trouble. But Andrew has been a problem for years in different ways. Yeah.
So before we sign off, I'm wondering how you guys think the Biden-Harris campaign may shift towards, you know, being a little bit more friendly to the left side of the street because they're standing in the middle of the road here.
Well, I'll tell you what.
I think they will,
You take this one, you start with it, and then I'll follow up behind you. And David, you too.
Yeah, I think that they're moving toward the left. It's just that because of Trump talking about socialism, I think they have to be careful not to scare people away that they're, quote, socialists, as if being socialist is bad when FDR promoted Social Security and LBJ promoted Medicare, and that's socialism. What's the big deal, you know?
Yeah, well, FDR's vice president for the first 8 years was Clinton, right, I knew you would know that, Professor, thank you.
John Nance Garner,
Social Democrat. He was a social democrat, so.
No, that's
David,
a third term, Henry Wallace. You think of the third term. Henry A. Wallace was more to the left, not John Nance Garner. He was even against much of the New Deal, you know. But Henry Wallace, 1941 to 45, was more to the left of FDR, and then he was dumped for Harry Truman.
Right. Because that was one of those things we need the Midwest states.
So, David, what do you think? You think they'll get on board?
I think that a lot of the socialism programs and stuff like that do need to eventually morph into what our policies are, but I don't think you can actually mention it by name because, you know, we have this buzzword. It seems to be after effect of the Cold War, you know, where everybody was a communist and all this stuff.
Right.
So I think if they started implementing programs and then people saw the positive benefits of it, then they would accept it.
Right. There
we
go.
Gentlemen, we are at the end of the hour. So I really
1 minute
like
to go,
to
yep.
I
well,
would like
go.
To guys, I'd like to thank you all for being with me today.
Time, yep.
And I want to send my best to the West Coast and to the people out there.
Absolutely.
I have family out there. I spoke to them today FaceTime, and I could see the smoke in their skies. So it's serious. Just send the best you can. If you're a praying person, pray. If you're an energetic person, send the energy. Just a good thought helps. Thank you,
absolutely,
gentlemen.
Well stated. So.
Thank you,
gentlemen.
You.
Thanks a lot.
And thanks,
I was
going to
say thank you, everybody. Gwen, always a pleasure. Professor, always a pleasure with you. You know,
pleasure to be with all of you.
Goes back several, about a decade now plus. Dave, it's been great. Everybody, good night, and we'll do it again next week. Thank you.
This has been the Sunday Show on Here Be Monsters Network. We will be back next Sunday at 6 p.m. Join us. Thank you for listening.